Now, last week, we were looking at the life of Christ from several different sources. We were trying to take it in order, and we're going to really try and continue that tonight, that we might learn a little bit about how his life was lived. Jesus knew that he was the Son of God as early as when he was 12 years old. But he did not perform any miracles before he had the Holy Spirit of God come upon him at his baptism. Remember that at 12 years old, his parents found him in the temple, talking and questioning the priests about things of God. And we have no account of the balance of his growing up until we come to his baptism. The Bible doesn't give us any more information about him until that part of his life. Now, we know that he was successful in overcoming the devil's attempt to tempt him. After his baptism, it was at his baptism that God's Holy Spirit came upon him. Prior to that time, he had a knowledge, but he did not have the power. The Holy Spirit is the power of God to act in the earth. And so the coming of God's Holy Spirit seems to be the empowerment of Jesus for the performance of the miracles. It was not until then that he began to call his disciples. It was after he had the power of God upon him that he began to call his disciples. Prior to that, he did not. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit led Jesus to call specific individuals for the particular service of God. He knew who he was looking for. He knew who he wanted to call to be his disciples, the 12 men, including Judas. And he knew when he called Judas that Judas was going to betray him. We are told that later in the book of Matthew. So Jesus knew that Jesus was his betrayer when he chose him. After Jesus chose his disciples, he had to convince them that he had the power of God upon him. He did this at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, when he turned water into wine. Now, in case there's any questions, it was really wine with an alcoholic content because the water of that area was not healthy. And so he turned it in. But there's even more of a miracle there, and that is the fact that he did not need any time for the wine to ferment. And his disciples knew that. See, they knew, they had information that we have never really thought about. They knew that it takes time to make wine, that it has to go through a fermentation process. So when Jesus made that water wine at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, he made it with an alcoholic content, and it did not need time to ferment. It was already fermented. In fact, the host of the wedding said it was the best wine because it was perfect wine. Even in Jesus' lifetime, alcohol was a problem, and drunkards were admonished not to live that way. Wine was a common beverage for everyone because of the bad water. One of the things that convinced the disciples at the wedding of Cana in Galilee was the fact that Jesus overcame chemistry and biology. Wine takes time to become wine. Many days at least were required for fermentation, and the wine that Jesus created was already fermented. The disciples, being fishermen, knew about wine. When Jesus did what he did, they knew it was not a magic trick. The fermentation had already taken place without any time required. Now, the cleansing of the temple, which is the next item, the next thing that Jesus did, required no supernatural power. It just required aggressiveness and leadership. But the withered fig tree was the clincher for all of the disciples. with the exception of Judas. He was never really on board with the rest of them. But Jesus knew this. Let's move on with the life of our Savior. We're told in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus began healing the people, Matthew 4:23-25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them, all of them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Remember where he was ministering. He was ministering in Galilee. And so these people were coming away because they heard of him and what he was doing and how he was able to reach out to people. And there was nobody he couldn't heal. It's not like some of these healers going around today and telling people they don't have enough faith. Okay, that's always the excuse they use, is that, well, you don't have enough faith to get healed. That has nothing to do with it. In fact, it had nothing to do with their faith. The healing came from Jesus and the power that was upon him, which was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So these people came from all over the area. Next, we read about Jesus going to a mountain, probably Olivet, since it was close to the temple where he had been healing the sick. That is a place where he preached his Sermon on the Mount, in which he gave us the Beatitudes. They occupy a special place in the annals of God. Let's look at them for just a minute. That would be in Matthew 5:2-12. Matthew 5:2-12. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So the next time somebody calls you a bad name or in some way offends you, say, "Praise the Lord." And not only will that take them off balance, because they're not used to people saying that, but you are doing what God said to do. There are 9 named kinds of people who will be blessed by God in this passage. Each one is a special kind of person, and God's blessing will be upon them. We have just read about them. Study each one and see which one, if any, you are and what you can expect from God. We'll not take the time right now tonight to go over them, but when you have some time, rehearse them and determine if you are anywhere in one of the groups. The next thing that Jesus did was to preach or teach what we call the Sermon on the Mount. In it, Jesus taught and preached to the people, so that most of the doctrine that pertained to personal separation was presented. The teaching covered many aspects of living. Jesus taught about salt and light, anger, lust, divorce, swearing of an oath, retaliation, loving our enemies, giving to the needy, fasting, laying up treasure in heaven, not being anxious, the judging of others, building your house upon a rock, asking if it will be given, and a tree and its fruit. Along the way, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and he taught them the golden rule. Do unto others before they can do unto you, right? Now, do unto others like you would have them do unto you. Everyone who was there had a chance to learn. It was just like everyone who comes to this church has a chance to learn about what Jesus taught in his word. We teach the word of God so that people can do what God says to do. The next act by Jesus was to heal Peter's mother-in-law. When they went from the mountain where he had given the Sermon on the Mount, they went to Peter's home where he was taking care of his mother-in-law. And she was sick. And so Jesus healed her. And that started almost a landslide. People heard that he had healed Peter's mother, and they began coming to the house, flocking around the house. And so after he had healed Peter's mother-in-law, he could have no peace. We're told in Mark that when Jesus left the temple area, that they went to the house of Peter and Andrew, where Peter's wife's mother was sick. He healed her, and they stayed overnight because Jesus did not have a home to go to. He needed a place to stay, and he stayed in Peter's home. That evening, the people who lived around there brought many who were sick and had demons and other ailments to be healed, and Jesus healed them all. The next morning, Jesus went out to have time with his heavenly Father before the busy day began. When it began, a leper came to him for healing, and Jesus healed him and told him not to tell anyone about what he had done. The reason he did that is he did not want all the people flocking to the house, because if they heard that there was somebody there who could heal every problem or could heal leprosy or whatever, they would have again all flocked there like they had the night before. So he told this leper not to tell anybody other than the priest. Go show the priest what was required by God. And instead, the leper went out and started telling everybody. And once again, Jesus was overrun with people. But everyone who needed healing, again, came to him. So Jesus went to a desert place, is what we are told, with his disciples, and the people even came to him there. So Jesus, in order to get away from the people and the needs that they had, went deeper into the desert. He met the needs of everyone who came to him. And to get away from pressure, he took ship and started across the lake. Unless they could walk on the water, they had to have a boat. And they didn't have one. So that was his way of getting away from the people. There are times when sometimes we have to stop ministry because we need either time to rest, time to study, or time for something, some personal need. Jesus could not get that because everybody was telling everyone else what he was doing. This demonstrates for us the humanity of Jesus. He had a physical human body, and he had limitations on that body just like you and I have. He was God in the flesh, but he was also able to get tired and to need sleep for the sake of his human body. Once he got into the ship, He lay down and went to sleep. He was probably up very late the night before healing people. He was tired. His body needed some sleep. He was up until late healing people, and he got up early to spend time with his heavenly Father. So he went to sleep when he got on board the boat. Now, he was God, so that made him omniscient. He knew everything that was going to happen. He was omnipotent also because of the Holy Spirit. He was omniscient in that he knew everything that was going to take place. Even when he got in the boat, he knew what was going to happen. And so he went to sleep when he got on board the boat. There were no people. And so when the disciples woke him to minister to, and he was working with the disciples, so he had time to catch up on his sleep. There's a lesson here for all of us. We need to be careful not to abuse our bodies to the point of becoming sick. That is not being a good steward of what God has given each one of us. He's given each one of us a body. We're to take care of it. God has given us bodies that he has so that we can serve him according to his needs. Does God have needs? Everything that exists is given by God, but there is a purpose for which he made each one of us. God didn't save you just to keep you out of hell or because you called out to him for salvation. He saved you to be his child and so that we could share with others what God had shared with us. So Jesus got on board the boat and went to sleep. Remember that he is God and he had omniscience. He knew what was going to happen in the next few minutes. He went to sleep in spite of the coming storm. Right now, he knows all about the storms that are coming our way. He also already knows what he's going to do about them. When he gives us a problem, he has a solution. Jesus didn't finish his work yet. So when the disciples awoke him, I believe that he was curt in his response because they were not thinking so much about him, but about themselves and what was going to happen to them. And many times that happens. We think about ourselves rather than how God might use this in our lives or use this for our lives. Jesus hadn't died yet for the sins of mankind, and so the disciples were thinking that they were headed for hell. Now I will ask you a question at this point. Were they headed for hell? They were his disciples. What do you think? Now, Linda says no.
Which Linda?
Which Linda? The other Linda.
Oh, I was sitting here thinking, how do I answer that one? Yes or no? If they, this is before he died yet. But they believed in him. They followed him.
They followed him and they believed in him. Would they have gone to hell if they had died in that storm?
If they went to hell, they wouldn't.
Let me give you a verse out of Hebrews. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And he hadn't shed his blood yet.
So he was under the law.
So they were still under the law.
So were they still regularly sacrificing as they were supposed to do that? Do we know?
Of course, I think they probably were.
Then they're going to heaven.
Okay.
That's what I was sitting here thinking of. There had to be something for that.
Yes. Well, that was why I asked the question, is to get everybody thinking.
Like I said, I was thinking of the law. So when they died before he died.
They were sacrificing. They were sacrificing animals for their sin. And so they were still keeping God's law, and they were fulfilling God's law. What did Jesus say he came to do? He came to fulfill the law.
Right.
And that's what he was doing. So Jesus hadn't died yet for the sins of mankind, so the disciples were thinking that they were headed for hell. They were more afraid of death than they were of disturbing the boss at that time. Okay. Now, how did that work out? What were they afraid of when Jesus woke up and told the wind and the water to knock it off? Man, who was this guy? How they believed that this man was the son. Now they believed that this man was the Son of God. I would imagine that this helped Peter to make up his mind about Jesus. The next event that took place was when they got to the other side of the lake. You remember what happened on the other side of the lake? The Gergesene demoniacs came out of the tombs and begged Jesus not to cast them out. This was the time that Jesus gave the demons permission to occupy the pigs. What a great thing for the demons to do. Trade a human for a pig. They were pretty desperate. You can easily see that the pigs had more sense than the humans. At least the pigs would rather die than live with the demons in them. So after Jesus cast out the demons, the people of the area wanted Jesus to leave because they were afraid of the power that he had. They didn't know God. They hadn't studied God. They hadn't studied about God. They had just known what Jesus was doing and what he was capable of doing. I don't know if the disciples told them that he had calmed the storm and the waves, but anyway, they wanted him to leave. When the Gergesenes asked for Jesus to leave, Jesus traveled back across the sea to Capernaum, where Jesus continued healing people who were sick or diseased. Four men were bringing a man who was paralyzed. There were so many people in and around the house that they couldn't get near Jesus. So they went up on the roof, took part of the roof off, and let the man down to Jesus. At this point, Jesus knew what some of the people were thinking, and so he made a statement to the man that his sins were forgiven him, just to get the religious people to react in the wrong way. As Jesus expected, they castigated him for forgiving a man's sins. And so Jesus asked, "Is it easier to forgive sins or to heal the sick?" And so the scriptures might so that the scribes might understand that Jesus could do both, he said to the palsied man, "Take up thy bed and walk." And the man got up, took up his bed, and left his friends on the roof. In most of the incidents before this, we see Jesus at work. When he entered, when he easily touched people and healed them. But in this case, one of the people exercised faith in who Jesus was. We find the account in Mark 5:25. In Mark 5:25, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "Thou seest the multitude throng thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." This is a different situation to what most of the situations were at this time. Most of the time, people were coming to him and his faith was healing them. The power of the Holy Spirit was healing them. In this case, this woman had faith, and she thought, and correctly, as it turns out, that if she could but touch his clothes, she would be healed. Now, she had faith to be healed. And so she did that, and she was healed. But Jesus was aware of it, and so that she would know that he was aware of it, he had something to do with it. He said, you know, he felt that virtue had gone out of him. And this woman came to her, and he said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." He told her that it was her faith that had done that. And he will encourage all of us, if we exercise real faith, not wants, not desires, not hopes, but we exercise real faith based upon some verse of Scripture, then we will get what we promised. One of the things Jesus told his disciples was that if they would believe with all their heart anything that was of God, that God would bring it to pass. And God will bring it to pass. We talked about that this morning. And so God brought this to pass for this woman. I think that this will be a good place to close. I'm going to try and finish up this study we're doing right now about the life of Christ. We're getting to a point where we're getting ready to come to the cross. And so I'm going to leave that for next week. Next Sunday night, so we will stop here. This woman had been treated by many doctors. Now, they're not doctors like we have. Maybe some of us have doctors like that. But she had been treated, they had not been able to cure her. They didn't have the medical knowledge of what was going on at that time. And so she truly believed that Jesus could heal her. And I believe that the Holy Spirit of God led her to draw the conclusion that if she simply touched the clothing of Jesus, that she would be healed. Was she right or was she wrong? She was right. Was that faith or was that correct speculation?
It was faith.
That's what Jesus told her. Your faith hath made you whole. And so if we are to live successful lives, whole lives, we need to live those lives by faith. And that is the belief that God is who he says he is, and he can do what we expect him to do. That goes back to Hebrews 11:6. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Any comments or questions? A.B., I'll let you do your thing.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you as we learn about Jesus and his life here on the earth. And he reached a point to where he had to do the ultimate sacrifice and die for our sins. We thank you for that. And we just pray that you'll be with each and every one here tonight, get them home safely. We ask all this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay.